We love to check and make sure that Long Island Sound and our local beaches are doing okay. And if they're not, well, we want to improve upon them. Peter is back with us from Save the Sound because a new report just dropped yesterday. It is the Save the Sound 2024 Long Island Sound Report Card. Now, Peter, the last time I had you on, you successfully told me that there are two reports that we keep an eye on with Save the Sound. And I always, without fail, mess up which one. So can you tell me which one we're talking about today?
Sure thing. And thanks for having me on. Good morning.
Of course.
So we are talking about, just like you said, the Long Island Sound report card, which is different than the Long Island Sound Beach Report, which grades beaches around the sound. So the report card, the Long Island Sound report card, looks at the ecological health of Long Island Sound waters, both in the open sound and in many bays and harbors around the margins. And specifically, it's looking at how healthy the waters are to support aquatic life. So, you know, how healthy the waters are to sustain the wildlife, the plants, you know, the algae that we want to see in Long Island Sound.
Okay. So we're talking water quality and, of course, the impacts it would have on anything and everything living in the sound and in relying
right.
on the sound. Okay. I'm with you, Peter. I can keep up with that. Okay, cool.
All right.
So we've got the 2024 Long Island Sound report card. How often does Save the Sound put this report card out?
Yeah, so it's a biennial report. So every 2 years, we put out the Long Island Sound report card. We do fill the years that we don't have a full large report with grades still. Those are available on soundhealthexplorer.org. But the large report comes out every 2 years.
Okay. And this 2024 report, so this is looking at the last 2 years of testing, or how does the report card, you know, get created, if you will?
That's a great question. So it's based on 2023 water quality monitoring data because we're still in 2024. So it's, we release it, but it's always going to be 1 year prior. So based on 2023 monitoring data, there are three big agencies that collect, like government agencies that collect data in the open waters of the sound. And then the bay and harbor data that fuels the bay grades is from the Unified Water Study. That's a program Save the Sound administers, my crew and team and myself administer. It's fully EPA, Long Island Sound Study funded. And it involves over 2 dozen groups out in the water collecting data the same way in bays and harbors. So we can have this comparison and have comparable grades.
By the way, Peter Linderoth is the perfect person to talk to about this because he is Save the Sound's Director of Water Quality. I sort of forgot to, you know, say that in the beginning. Sorry
All
about
right,
that, Peter.
I
mean, proud of it, and we love that. So, Peter, when you look at this, I do know from our past conversations, just talking about the efforts to really clean up and take care of Long Island Sound, you know, now and into the future, there have been a lot of investments. I think about, you know, pollution, for example. One thing that we've talked about are like removing the traps from the bottom of Long Island Sound. That's something that has been a huge effort really for years now. What can you tell us? I'm going to talk about the good first because I love glass half full stuff. What were some of the big takeaways that maybe show that the investments we're making into Long Island Sound, it's working or it's good?
Yeah, me too. I'm all for not doom and gloom reports. So
right?
There's great and there's challenging news. Oh, absolutely.
Okay, cool. I like how you say that, too. Great versus challenging, because I love, like, you know, I like that. So let's start with the great. Yeah, let's do that.
All right, so let's do that. So the open waters of Long Island Sound, more than 98% of the area of the waters, of the open waters only, that's important to keep in mind, are receiving a B or better in this report card, which is just, that's fantastic news in itself, right? The western portion of the sound that has traditionally struggled more than the eastern portion, just due to population density, urbanization, you know, people are the main contributor to this type of pollution, which is nitrogen, excess
sure.
nitrogen. So the western portion of the sound, if you look, there's still a red segment in the Western Narrows. But that portion, even though it's an F, you can find encouragement in an F2, is statistically improving. So it essentially went from like a zero to a high F in the 16 years of data that we have on that segment.
Okay.
And the Eastern Narrows right next to it's also improving. So it just shows that nitrogen pollution reduction efforts and investments have been working for the open waters. And, you know, I was around in the 80s as a kid and the sound was in terrible shape. I was just talking with some people that were around in, you know, the 50s and 40s and the sound was in even worse shape. So it's just great to see the open waters of the sound improving.
You tell a really great story, Peter, because I think sometimes when people read these reports, and this is why you need to do deep dives, which is why I'm so blessed I get to do this as a job and have this kind of a platform to do longer conversations. Because if you looked at the report, Peter, and unless people are going to read through it and really ask the questions, you see F and you think, cool, so we're failing or we're wasting money. That's not the story, though, because, again, when you look at progress, like you just said, Peter, in 16 years, we're going in the right direction. So these investments you're saying are worth it. What we're putting into Long Island Sound and in trying to improve, for, like you said, the first half of it, I mean, to be a B is fantastic. But, you know, right. When you look at the Western, like you said, and you still see an F, you got to look at the context of it. So we are projecting in the correct direction, which is great. Listen, Peter, I was never a 4.0 student in school, but for some reason they handed me a morning show. So I had to have been doing something right, okay? So
sometimes, you're doing a good job
right?
with it.
So, like, the reports don't always tell the whole story. So I think it's good that you're highlighting this. And, again, Peter understands this very well because he is the director of water quality for Save the Sound. So when you're looking at this report, let's look at the challenges. I mean, you sort of just started to talk about them a little bit, Peter, but you know, the challenging part of this, what did this report show where it's like, hey, we need improvements and we could do that now?
Absolutely. So to tie up the open waters, the Western Narrows and the Eastern Narrows, you know, there's more that can be done, further, you know, investments and reductions. I would encourage people to look up Renewable Rikers. It's a coalition that we're on. New York City is starting to get the ball in motion on a state-of-the-art wastewater treatment plant in the Western Narrows, deep in the Western Narrows. That could be a generational game changer. So, you know, please look up Renewable Rikers if people are interested in that. But I do want to pivot then to the bays and harbors, because that really is the next focus area in terms of nitrogen pollution. Bays and harbors around the Sound, and there's 57 bay grades lining the margins of the Sound. 42% of those bay segments are receiving a C, D, or F. So there's certainly room for improvement in the bays, and they have a more nuanced, they require a more nuanced approach, because, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm actually just pulled over, I'm in Koskov at Mianus Harbor, and, you know, every one of the over 100 bays and harbors on Long Island Sound has their own fingerprint of pollution sources. Typically North Shore, Eastern Connecticut, on-site, like septic, cesspools, things like that tend to ring the bays and harbors and contribute a lot of nitrogen. Fairfield County and Westchester have some of the highest fertilizer application rates in the coastal watershed of Long Island Sound. That really needs to change. New York City has I love New York City. Go Yankees, by the way.
Yeah,
big win last
right?
night.
Thank you. No yeah, one here has said absolutely. It, but I think we have a lot of Red Sox and Mets fans here at Connoisseur Media. No one has congratulated me yet. Yes, thank God for the Yankees.
Yeah,
okay.
Big one. And
thank you, Peter.
I'm rooting for that Subway Series. That
right?
Amazing.
That'd be so fun. Yeah. Okay, sorry, Peter. I'm with you, too.
That's all
I love
right.
New
I
York.
Did it. Back to the water, though. So New York City, lots to be happy with. But at the same time, lots of hardened surfaces, lots of nitrogen-rich stormwater runs off those roads, roofs, you know, parking lots, and enters those bays like the Bronx River and Flushing. Just a shout out to our Mets people too. And you know, there's lots of work and reductions of nitrogen in those bays and harbors that definitely still needs to happen.
We're talking about Save the Sound's new report card that just dropped this week, and it looks at water quality in Long Island Sound, and of course that then has an impact on the animals that live there, the habitats, all that. And so we have Peter here with us. And he is the director of water quality, Peter Linderoth. And when we look at this report and we break it down, Peter, I loved what you said earlier, which is that we, the people, if you will, are the greatest contributors of these issues that we see, or these solutions that we see, you know, the yin and the yang. Right. So what are some suggestions, you know, to greater impact in a good way the water quality for Long Island Sound? You know, you had mentioned, for example, like our properties, runoff. I know there are some things that are out of our control, like what goes on with these major storms. But what are some things that you'd suggest residents to do to help out with this situation?
Yeah, absolutely. So really don't have to look any further than ourselves when we talk about nitrogen pollution. You know, water that goes down our sinks, down the drains, down the toilet especially, you know, is nitrogen rich typically. And it makes its way, most cases, to either a wastewater treatment plant or a septic tank or a cesspool. And maintaining the sewers on our private property can go a long way to protecting water quality, certainly. And I got a few, so just interrupt me at any time. I'll try to take little breaks in between. Fertilizers, you know, fertilizer application can be out of control. And inorganic fertilizers that quick release and are quick to wash off the yard and go into local streams and into the Sound, you know, really thinking hard about, do I need to apply as much fertilizer? Do I need to apply any fertilizer? Going with an organic, slow-release type of fertilizer, if people do need to use it, is ideal, maybe twice a year. Planting native, reducing the size of our yards, things like that, if done collectively, can make a very big impact. And in addition to that, you know, just using less water, that's one that we list in the report card that anyone can do. I reference it as just something everyone can do, but keep looking. But using less water, less wear, less discharge from wastewater treatment plants. And then two more. One is reducing our carbon footprint. Climate change is very real, as we know, and we are major contributors to increasing temperatures and conditions. But something people don't often think about is, you know, burning fossil fuels results in a lot of nitrogen in the air, which gets picked up by precipitation. It comes back down into the Sound and back down onto our roads, which wash into the Sound. So, you know, reducing our carbon footprint. And last but not least, showing up to public meetings and getting your voice heard, you know, joining a group like Save the Sound. Hey, I'd love it if people would join Save the Sound, of course, but I'm a bit biased. You know, join any environmental group that catches your interest and follow along on key issues. Maybe it's water, so that you're aware of what's happening and can show up to public meetings and have your voice be heard. That's very important.
I love all of that, and that's why I wasn't going to interrupt you, Peter, because I think these are very easy and a lot of times attainable goals that people can accomplish. I mean, even something like showing up to your local beach. I know we will never go to a park. Heck, he's now six. I should get his age right. My six-year-old is obsessed with keeping the planet clean. He always feels like Earth cries when there's litter somewhere. He gets very upset about it. But, I mean, at a very young age, I would say to him, if you see trash that is literally feet away from the garbage, unless it's sharp or something, it is your job to pick it up. Because, to me, we all have to do our part. And when you're at a beach, if you're at a park, understand that it's not just, oh, hey, in the moment, it's a cleaner park or a cleaner beach. It also does affect, for example, runoff. What's getting into our waters? What liquid in that can or whatever is then making its way into our waterways? That stuff matters. And so when you're having even those conversations, you don't even have to be part of a group. It's just caring. It's just caring about your community. It's caring about the cleanliness. And it's caring about, it's not just in that space, but where is this going to end up? What is this going to mean? And water quality is certainly something that we should be focused on. So, Peter, I want to thank you so much for breaking down this report. And actually, if people go to the website, savethesound.org, you could see on the main page a copy of this report in length. And you could see ways and resources to get more involved and be part of the solution. And taking care of Long Island Sound, it's very important. Peter, thank you so much. I always love chatting
with
you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course, you're always welcome back. Peter, we appreciate the work that you do, again, with Save the Sound. And for you and the water quality reports, I think it's so important. They only drop them every 2 years. So again, Peter, Linda Roth, who is the director of water quality for Save the Sound, will have more information on our website, voiceofct.com.